I'm going to ask you, if you will, to stand in reverence to the Word of God, if you're able. And we're going to read, starting in verse number 5. Verse number 5, the book of Matthew, chapter number 8. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him. Let me say this. I looked this word up in the Greek because I thought I knew what God had put in my heart. But when I looked it up, I'm not here to impress you. I can just look it up by hitting a button called interlinear, and it'll give you the Greek word and the Greek definition. And I was right. It's what God had put in my heart. He's begging him, beseeching him. He's begging him. Brother Junior Taylor, you and others in this auditorium are old enough to remember when some people incorporated into their prayer life, even their public prayer, they'd say, Lord, we beg you. We beg you. We beg you. You can say whatever you want to, but we'd see more done if we'd get in the begging business. This outfit that's on the TV, they act like you march into the throne room of God and you tell him what to do. Last time I checked, honey, he's the shepherd and we're the sheep. The sheep follow the shepherd. The shepherd's the leader. Amen. The Bible said he came unto him, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said to them that followed, remember, if you read the first part of the chapter, great multitudes were following him. It ain't one or two or three or four or five or six people. There's a multitude of people following. He said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. You can be seated, pray with us and pray for us. I'd like to bring a message this morning entitled, The Soldier That Went for the Savior. The Soldier That Went for the Savior. Father, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you, God, for the service thus far, the good singing, Lord, the good testimony. God, we thank you, Lord, for the cross. Lord, I'm glad, our Lord. Brother Billy Mitchell said, if you've ever repented, you're still repenting. Lord, I'm glad. There's a place where we can confess our sin, and you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, it's not the folks that Lord, make mistakes that I'm concerned about. It's the folks that seemingly never make a mistake, never need your grace, never need your mercy. God, I'm in need of your mercy. I'm in need of your grace. And I pray, God, today you clothe us in our calling. Help us the next little while. God, will give you glory. All of God's people said, amen. Thank you. I want to give you four things that the Lord put in my heart about this story this morning. Here's a soldier, and the first thing that God shows me is that this soldier that went for the Savior, he's someone that was unlikely to go. He was just unlikely. You say, Pastor, why was he unlikely? There's two things here. Number one, he's a soldier. And number two, he's a Gentile. Amen. He's not of the Jewish people. I'll say a little bit about it later on, but you remember in John chapter 1, Jesus said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And here, early on in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus has given us a little insight into what's going to happen. This gospel's not just going to be for the Jews. This gospel's going to be for the whole world. The verse of scripture that was on the wall, for God so loved the world. The middle wall of partition is going to be torn down between Jew and Gentile. And God is going to make one way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This man was an unlikely man to go and get Jesus, the soldier that went for Jesus. I want you to know this today. Revival may come through some unlikely individuals. It may not be the pastor that gets a hold of God. It may not be a deacon that gets a hold of God. It may not be a Sunday school teacher that gets a hold of God. I'm telling you, beloved, I serve a God. Amen. It might be a youngin'. It might be a teenager. It says, you know what? I'm going to go get Jesus. We need Jesus. There's people in my family that need to be saved. There's people, beloved, in this country that need a change of heart. Amen. And I think I'm just going to go get Jesus. Let me say this to you about this man and then being unlikely. He's a centurion and he's a Gentile. But I learned this in study. I never looked at it in this context. But really, this servant is like a slave. You understand what I mean? He's not somebody that's getting paid and getting tips and all that. He's actually like a slave. And it was customary in this day, beloved, when a slave got real sick, just let him die. That's what a lot of people are doing with their children and with their teenagers. You say, Pastor, my children aren't sick. If they're lost, honey, they're worse than sick. They're dead in their trespasses and sin. And we need somebody to go get Jesus. Amen. And it might be an unlikely somebody like this centurion, like this Gentile, like this soldier. I want you to know this. I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, some of these guys that's got their shoes shined just right and their tie tied just right. They've learned how to say every word just right. They think they're going to be in the front of the line. I believe we're going to find out some of these widows that we don't see for months and months at a time around the church, but they're over yonder in the prayer closet. They're saying, oh, God bless that preacher. Oh, God bless that choir, Brother Dale. Oh, God bless that service. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe God's going to let them back up and let them, beloved, that unlikely come to the front of the line because they went and got Jesus. We need somebody to go get Jesus. Here's a soldier that went for the Savior. Amen. Then let me give you this. Not only is he someone that was unlikely, but he's someone that's undeserving. Let's look at the scripture together. Look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I love it. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. I don't worry about that attitude. I worry about the attitude that says something like this, well, Lord, if you're going to show up anywhere, you ought to show up here. After all, Lord, that's that Pharisaical attitude. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. Brother John has said this many times in Sunday school, and I like it when he says that we're not the only church in town. We're not the only church, amen, that's preaching the gospel. We're not the only church that's singing the old-time singing and the old-time songs. We're not the only church that's giving the missions. I say, beloved, we ought to get in a place where we say, God, we ain't worthy for you to show up here. But God, we need you to show up here. God, just show up somewhere and do a work in our community. He said, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He was someone that deemed himself unworthy. I want to show you a contrast. Look over, if you will, at Luke chapter 7 for just a moment. I'm going to show you a contrast in the scripture. Now, this man is saying, Lord, I'm not worthy. But the people that knew this man, I want you to look what it said here. We're going to read in verse number 4 and verse number 5 of Luke chapter number 7. The Bible said, and when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation. Here's a Gentile that loved their nation. Watch this. And Brother Bill, he didn't just say it with his words, but he put on his tool belt and he built him a synagogue. Amen. He got the materials together. Amen. Talk is cheap. These people knew that this man loved them. Amen. That he was doing something for them. I'm telling you, God was doing a work in his heart. But what I want you to see in the contrast, if you ask this man, he'd say, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy, Lord, that you should come under my roof. But the word of God said over there in the book of Ephesians, I believe it is, to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. The pastor ought to stand here and say, God, I'm not worthy. But he ought to have some people around him and say, God, bless our pastor. Amen. He needs your help. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? If a man's sticking his chest out and saying, God, if you're going to visit anywhere, you ought to visit right on over here at my house. I say it like this, gag a maggot off a gut wagon. Say amen. It makes God sick. Pride makes God sick. And so here, beloved, in the scripture, this man is undeserving. He's a man of helplessness. He knows he can't help his servant. He's done all he can. So what do you do when you've done all you can and the job still ain't done? I tell you what, do go get Jesus. There's one job that we can't do, Brother Jack. We can't save our youngins. We can't save our grand youngins. We can't save our neighbors. Amen. We can't bring revival. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, God wants us to go get Jesus. Somebody go get the Savior, the soldier that went for the Savior. Not only was a man of helplessness, but he was a man of honor. People around him honored him. And then he was a man of humility. He said, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. So the soldier that went for the Savior, he was someone that was unlikely to go for the Savior. He was someone that deemed himself undeserving to go for the Savior. But he was someone that understood some things. He was someone with understanding. You say, Pastor, what did he understand? There's two things that I want to key in on in the message that this centurion understood. Number one, he understood the Lord's authority. Now, I'm not going to get too deep into this, amen, but it looks like when President Trump was president the first time, that there was people in the military that was going against what he was commanding to be done. It'll all come out. You mark my word right there. Say amen. It'll all come out. And you say, Pastor, why would somebody do that? Why would somebody go against? I'll tell you why, because they don't understand authority. Why would a young person call a police officer a pig? Because they don't understand authority. Amen. I used to preach in the prisons for 10 years. I spent my life in there preaching to those men. And I said, every one of you, if you'll trace it back, you can trace your problems back to a lack of respect for authority. When I see a young person disrespecting their mom and dad, amen, there's a problem. Are you listening? That problem's liable to get bigger. It's liable to get so big, it'll end up in prison. You say, Pastor, as long as my kid ain't on drugs, I tell you right now, if your youngin's a rebel, you can mark it down, honey. There's no telling where they'll end up. Rebellion is, that's the sin of witchcraft. Most of us, as long as they're not bringing some kind of public shame on our home, we're all right. But I'm telling you this, beloved, listen, this man, this centurion understood authority. He said, listen, Lord, you don't have to come over here. I've got men over me. I've got men under me. I tell them to do this and they do it. He said, Lord, all you've got to do is say it. You're the one with the authority. Yeah. Amen. and it'll be done. He understood authority. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Every one of us, we need to get in a place where we can go get Jesus. But we'll never get in that place if we think we're the one in authority. He's the one in authority. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. And beloved, Jesus, he was understood by this centurion that he knew and understood the Lord's authority. Secondly, he understood something else about the Lord. He understood the Lord's ability. Years ago, I don't know where this come from. I just tried to be led of the Lord. But years ago, my wife and I, we had already been voted in as pastor at Liberty Baptist Church in Churchill, Tennessee. And my wife and I spent the whole morning looking for a place to live, Brother Junior. The whole morning. And we bought pizza for the kids and took it back to the prophet's chamber. We were staying in the prophet's chamber of the church. And we bought pizza for the kids for lunch. And I had four youngins. And we went back and we had lunch. And when I vowed to pray, you know what I did, Brother Chris? I said, God, I'm looking. And I can't find it. I said, Lord, you know where our house is at. Lord, would you show it to me? He said, Pastor, you don't talk to Jesus like that. Hang around, amen. It'd be a happy day when you learn to talk to him like that. Amen. They said of old preacher Shep, he said, why, they say when you pray, it's as if you actually talk to God. He said, well, who do you talk to when you pray? Amen. I tell you who a lot of people are talking to when they pray, talking to themselves. Because they're full of pride. They think they're going to tell God what to do. But I'm going to tell you, if we'll humble our heart, you know what he said? He draw near to them. Amen. He resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So we had pizza with our youngins. We got in the car. So help me. 1 mile and 2/10 below the church, there was a little sign that said Realty with an arrow pointing that way. And we went out there, and right there was that little brick house where we live right now, sitting on the hill. Now, we've done a lot of work to it since then, but anyway, it was sitting there, and I looked at it, and I said, Miss Eve, there it is, honey. Wait, but we can't afford it. I said, I know we can't afford it. If he's that land goes with it, it's got 2 acres with it, amen. Brother Junior, I'll move up one of these days and have 17 or 18, 19 acres go with it, amen, and can raise my own venison, amen. But anyway, that's an inside joke, Brother Junior, amen. But you know what? You say, Pastor, what are you doing? I'm like that guy, brother, you preached about. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. How in the world does a man sit there and say, that's it, but we can't afford it? I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I said, especially if this lot goes with it here. That's what I told my wife. Anyway, we called them. We had a realtor in the church. We called her. She called them. And long story short, in 20 seconds, the guy came down $10,000. In 20 seconds. Now, guess what? When God put it in my heart to take that church, Brother Dale, it was 13 months prior to this date that I'm telling you about. Guess when that house went up for sale? 13 months prior. You can't make this up. All that time went by, brother, to save me $10,000. Amen. And being so much like my dad, I tried to get him to come a little further, Brother Ralph. But he wouldn't do it, brother. He wasn't doing it. He wasn't going to budge. He said, I done come down $10,000. I ain't coming no more. And he didn't know it, but I was going to take him to that anyway. Amen. But I'm just telling you, beloved, listen. Listen to me. God wants us to understand his ability. God is able. There's scripture that says something like this. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even think according to the power that worketh in us. We went in there. We went in that house and my wife said, this will be all right if... Y'all know my wife. You know her favorite place in the house? Say it. That's exactly right. Praise God. I didn't get this bad with this big with a bad cook. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You could open the refrigerator door and let the oven door down, and you couldn't get through. I don't care if you're so skinny, you just had one stripe in your pajamas. Amen. They met each other. Amen. And you couldn't get through. She said, you've got to do something with this kitchen. I said, I'll do it, baby. I'm just telling you, beloved, God is looking for somebody to go get Jesus. Somebody that will understand and realize He's the one in authority. He's the one with the ability. He can do what needs to be done. I love the scripture that says, God, you knew what we need even before we ask. But you said, ask and we shall receive. Someone with understanding. Over there, beloved, in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, God tells us again that He's able. Now let me give you this in closing this morning. I used to tell people that if you just got excited when I used the word closing, then you're a visitor. Amen. We got one young man visiting back here. I met a while ago, and praise the Lord for the visitors. Amen. That come and be with us. Let me give you this in closing. There's someone that was unlikely. Someone that was undeserving, that soldier that went for Jesus, went for the Savior. There's someone with understanding. He understood some things. And then there's some things going to happen that are undeniable. There's some things in this story that you absolutely cannot deny. The first thing that I see is undeniable in the story is his fervency. When I show you that word beg there, you know what the Bible said? The Bible said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He wasn't playing no games. When he went for Jesus, beloved, in his speech and in his heart, he was fervent. He wanted to get a hold of God because he didn't want his servant to die. He wanted his servant to get better. There was fervency in his prayer, and I believe we need to remember that. Amen. But let me give you this. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 64 for just a moment, would you please? Isaiah chapter 64. I believe this describes the church world today to a large degree. From the pulpit to the pew, I believe it describes the church world to a large degree. Look at verse number 7 of Isaiah chapter number 64. First, let's look at verse 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down. How many knows we need him to come down? Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. We're not going to see more people going up, more people getting saved, unless we see him come down. Amen. Amen. Now notice verse number 7. The Bible said, there is none that calleth upon thy name. Watch this. Watch this. That stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. I'm telling you, beloved, we're living in a generation. Are you listening to me? Not too many people are stirred up enough to get a hold of God. Amen. And to go get Jesus and say, God, we need you. We need you in the choir. We need you in our homes. We need you in Bloomingdale. We need you in America. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we better not have our confidence in our military. Though I believe in a strong military, our confidence ought to go way higher than that. It ought to be in the Lord. In the Lord. His fervency was undeniable. Secondly, his faith is undeniable. Look at verse number 10. This man was after the Lord. Verse number 10, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Well, let me read the first part of verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. I've said this from this pulpit before. I know that I have, but I'm going to say it again. Somebody didn't hear it, I'm sure, that's here today. There's two things in the Word of God that cause Jesus to marvel. How many knows what they are? Raise your hand if you know what they are. You know what they are, Missy? Anybody else know what they are? Two things that cause Jesus to marvel. What is it, Brother Chris? You know? Faith and unbelief. Faith and unbelief. He marveled at both of them. Right here, he marveled at this man's faith. And the Word of God said he couldn't do many marvelous works there. He marveled at their unbelief. Two things that caused Jesus to marvel. One of them was faith. That's on the positive side. The other one was unbelief. That's on the negative side. And here in this story, beloved, this man's faith is undeniable. God, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. All you got to do is speak the word and my servant will be healed. Amen. That caused Jesus to marvel. What great faith this man had. Amen. And then the future was undeniable. Watch in verse number 11. The Bible said here, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham. How many of y'all are Gentiles? How many don't know what a Gentile is? Amen. Well, let me ask it like this. How many of you are Jews? I'm not making fun. Amen. There's Jews and there's Gentiles. The Gentiles in Scripture were considered to be dogs. God grafted us into that wild olive tree. Amen. Thank God for that. But I want you to understand that right here, our future is being predicted right here. The Bible said, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west. Do you know who that many are? That's the Gentiles. Jesus is saying, I'm opening this thing up. Amen. In other words, you're a Gentile and you're a man of faith, but you're not the only Gentile that's going to believe. Amen. There are going to be many. They're going to come from the east and from the west. You say, Pastor, what is this verse, this passage of Scripture about? Watch it now. He said, he's going to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. What's that talking about? I'll tell you what it's talking about, beloved. They were blind. Blindness in part has happened to Israel. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. What God is telling us here is that those that ought to have been first in the kingdom aren't even going to be in the kingdom. They're going to be cast out. Amen. Because listen, the way to heaven, it's not a Jewish way and a Gentile way. It's a Jesus way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And beloved, Jew or Gentile, he only has one way for me and you to get to heaven. And we must come by way of the cross. I was sitting on the front pew and a man made this statement. Brother Chuck, I thought I was going to have to go get him out of the pulpit. I really did. He said, there are many roads that lead around the cross. Whoo! I'm on the edge of that bench ready to pounce. Amen. Then he said this, just remember, none of them lead to heaven. You can get around the cross, but if you go to heaven, you'll go through the cross. You'll go by way of Calvary. You'll go by way of the darling Son of God that stretched out his hands and died for you and for me. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. A couple verses of Scripture and I'm finished. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'd like to read verse 3 and verse 4. I'm preaching this morning on the soldier that went for the Savior. Maybe you're sitting there and you're saying, well, you know, I'm not a soldier. I'm not a centurion. I'm not over 100 soldiers. I want to give you this in closing. Paul is writing to Timothy, his son in the faith. He said in verse number 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that hath chosen him to be a soldier. Beloved, God wants every one of his children to enlist. I'm afraid that too many of God's people believe that this is supposed to be some kind of picnic when it's a war. And if we're going to win the war, we're going to have Jesus. Amen. And we need some soldiers that'll go get Jesus. Some soldiers that'll go after the Savior and say, Lord, we need some help over here. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for this soldier in the Bible, this centurion. Thank you, Lord, for putting this in the Bible for us to read, for us to meditate on and study about. God, it's my prayer that you'll help this pastor to be a good soldier and to realize, Lord, what I need more than anything is not to go get a message. I need to go get Jesus. God, I pray you'd speak to hearts today. Help men and women, boys and girls to realize, our Father, there is no other way, just through the blood of Jesus. God, for those that are unsaved, I pray that you speak to hearts. For those, Lord, that are slack in their prayer life, help us to get in this altar and bombard the throne of grace. God, begging for mercy, begging for forgiveness. God, help us, our Lord, Lord, to be a soldier of the cross. In Jesus' name, let's stand together this morning.